Praise you, the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for a time of fellowship, Lord. A day in your court is more than 1,000. I'll be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, to live in the palaces and so forth like that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of John the Baptist, what great art thou to see? A one clothed in soft raiment, or whatever, a prophet, more than a prophet, you know, as well as that, you know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for making us to live in this last day. We know of a surety. This generation that it itself become a nation again shall not pass away until all these things in Luke 21 and 24 come to pass, including the coming of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Glory be to your holy name, giving us understanding, you know, honor of the time. Lord, we thank you. So here this morning as we are read, you know, for your word this morning, Father, we pray. That being the author of it, we just rely upon you, Lord. To, the Bible says he expands to them in all the scriptures concerning himself. Luke 24. All those two, Cleopas and one other disciple, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures concerning himself. From Bible says from, you know, from the law and so forth to all the prophets. So therefore on the way to him. So this morning, as we read your scripture this morning, let us have the same experience, Lord, as you by the grace of God expand the scriptures to us. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, all over the world tomorrow, maybe somebody are doing it on Christmas and things like that. So we take time to also welcome the Lord Jesus. In one place, you know, the Bible said that some preach Christ in envy. Paul said, where they add to my bonds, right? I was always a prisoner because of the gospel. And there's some preach it in sincerity and some of that, you know. So in as much as Christ is preached, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. After we need, Christ is preached. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all the nations. That's what we are looking for. Praise the Lord. Amen. Either preaching heavy or even in sincerity or cheating and so on like that, Christ is being preached. Praise the Lord. So this morning, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator visited his creation. The Creator visited his creation. The Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world is peculiar and foreseen destiny. And the central pillar of the whole matter of the peculiarity and the destiny of his virgin birth. It is virgin birth. That is the peculiarity. And and the destiny of it is virgin birth. It's a circumstance which is uniquely different from the birth of any other human being. See, Mary was a different kind of mother in relation to Christ compared to any other mother-child relationship that you can name in this world. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ never at any time called Mary mother. Not one time. Let me show you some scriptures here. Now, at the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, his first public miracle, the turning of water into wine at the Cana of Galilee, in John chapter 2. I want to tell you that he never called her mother for one time. Let me read to you in John 2, 3. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, he didn't say mom, he didn't say mom, no. Woman, what have I to do with this? My hour is not yet come. See, he didn't say mother or mom, he have no wine. No. Woman. Now, during his ministry, another instance, that he speak to the people and so forth. In Matthew chapter 12, I want to read verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that stood him, who is my mother? See that? It's my mother. And so we see that here. And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever, in Psalm verse 50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother, even at the end of his ministry. Right on the cross, did the same thing in John chapter 19, verse 26, while the God of glory hanging on the cross, for your sins and my sins and so forth, that you know, the just for the unjust. See? Anyway, John 19:26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, that's John the writer, the scribe for this epistle, for this gospel, that's John is talking about here. And the disciple standing by, whom he loved, that's John. He said unto his mother, did you say man or mother? No. Woman, behold her son. Talking to John and pointing him to John, right there, you know. Then says he to the disciple, meaning to John, Behold thy mother. And then from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. For all we can read in the gospel, look like Joseph has since passed on from the scene. I think he has died a long time. Otherwise, why would he say, Brother John should take, you know, Mary home? And from that time on, we didn't hear about Joseph anymore. As far as, you know, only the other part of the narration of the birth of Christ and so forth, like that, you know. Anyway, so he was called a woman. And he is the word of God, right? So we see, to the apostate church that worship Mary and teach men to do so, may we remind them that Mary was one of the 120 that tarried for 10 days in the upper room to receive the Holy Ghost in obedience to Christ's command. And I want to read that command or that scenario in Acts chapter 1, the 13th verse. And when they were come in, many disciples and so forth, coming in from the Mount of Olives, right? Back in Luke 24, the same scribe wrote both Luke and Acts, right? Anyway, and they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, I name all of them. And verse 14 says, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. I was talking to our other brethren in all those churches and so on, Catholicism and so on, the polluter, and so according to the apostate church, and so that, you know, who worship Mary and the saints, and they teach them to do so, you know, the apostate church, and that, you know. Anyway, so go and that's what Mary was doing. Anyway, may we also point to them that this is the last instance in which Mary figure out in the gospel at all. We never hear of her again. After the day of Pentecost and so forth, we never hear about Mary again. Why is the apostate church now worshipping her and telling men to do so? So rather than people worshipping Mary, Mary worship with the other disciples of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. So, and there was no hint of her being worshipped at all. Rather, she was found worshipping with the other disciples of the Lord. Now, let us do some things about the birth of Christ and so forth. Why Christ received his humanity, or human nature rather, I would say human nature, he was 100% man and 100% God. That's it, you know. Why Christ received his human nature through the Virgin Mary, his God identity came by the reason of his supernatural conception by the Holy Ghost. The whole structure of Christendom or Christianity must rest upon this truth. I think that what people should be teaching during Christmas really. For why the scripture teach that Christ took upon himself human nature through the Virgin Mary, nevertheless, if he himself had been of the seed of the first man, meaning from Adam directly, then he would not be able to redeem the humanity. He wouldn't be able to do it. So, because all that from Adam are fallen people, right? So you have to come from above, like he always said, I come from above and so on like that, you know. Anyway, and thus the first foretelling, the first prophecy of Christ's birth was given 1500 years by Moses, referring to Christ as the seed of the woman, even right there, Genesis 3:15. So we are saying that, I want to show, because there are many people deny the virgin birth. We have to be telling them, you know, the time is at hand, or something that, you know, to show them that it is infallible. The virgin birth and so on, supernatural birth, no that birth like that in the old wide world, never will be. See? Anyway, so we see that the seed of the woman, so not even from Joseph, not even that, I want to show that to all. It's from through Mary, being the line of David. Let's look at that a little bit. So anyway, let's see the foretelling in Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee, that the devil and so, and the woman, and between that seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So you see now, any wonder the Lord begin to call that woman throughout his ministry? He went back to the prophecy of Moses, right? You know, so any wonder the Lord was calling her woman? I didn't see her called mother. People call her mother. Yeah, she came. No, he came through her. No, but no, never called her mother. Wonder woman, just like Moses said, he did. Seed of the woman and so on. Many, include some church people, have denied the virgin birth of Christ, even to the extent that some Bible versions have omitted part of the scripture that stated it, especially Isaiah 7:14. For this reason, let's present some proof of this fundamental and the basic truth of the gospel, that is, the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ's name in prophecy was called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God walking through the scripture and so on, as you know. Yeah, they call it out of many Bible many, many years ago, and they still do it now. They take Isaiah 7:14 out of their Bible and so on. And you ask here, the word of God through Isaiah the prophet straightly declare that this Emmanuel should be born of a virgin of the house of David, right here. Let's go to Isaiah 7:13, right from the prophecy and so on, so that we are going to what land you're going to come from. 7:13 and 14 of the book of Isaiah chapter 7. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, right here, O house of David. God made it down, no mistake about it. Is it a small thing for you to weary me? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The scripture says. The New Testament pick it up and declare that the birth of Christ or the Virgin Mary was a fulfillment of this prophecy of Isaiah. We can find that in Matthew the first chapter, out of a couple of verses from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. God, not missing word. Child of the Holy Ghost, Bible says. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on this thing, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Now mark that, because I'm going to show you something later about that statement. Thou son of David. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. All over the Bible. So Joseph is not the father of Jesus Christ. Joseph was a legal father, that's it, you know. What is it, the father of Jesus Christ? No. How can he be the father of God? kind of the father of God. Anyway, so he was just a legal father. But 21 says, she shall bring forth his son, showing that this is referring to the prophecy of Isaiah. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 22 says, now all this was done, that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the law, by the prophet, saying, you know, 23, we are in Matthew 1, we are in the 23rd verse now. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. The Bible gives more revelation. I didn't give her the meaning of Emmanuel, but the Holy Ghost here gives her the meaning. Be interpreted, God with us. Praise the Lord. Wonderfully, as I was writing this one, the grandchildren were all here. Coincidentally, I was just in my office writing these things and so forth, you know. Then they were singing, Emmanuel, God with us. All of them, all the six of them, Emmanuel, God with us. I went to join them, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Anyway, it's wonderful and so forth. These children, come unto me. Of them is the kingdom of heaven. So I just remember that. Just as I was writing that verse. And so anyway, then Joseph being raised from sleep did as the angel of the Lord has bidden him, and took unto him his wife and so forth, and knew her not, till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, just as the angel of the Lord has said. Now, we are also told of the angel's visit to Mary, during which she was acquainted with the fact that she would be child by the Holy Ghost and so forth. And this child will be called the Son of God. In Luke 1:34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, wonderfully, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. See, wasn't Joseph his father? No, just a legal father. And so it is the Holy Ghost overshadowing and the power of the highest. Many Bible prophecies foretold that the Messiah will come from the line of David, and the greatest king to have ever ruled the Hebrew nation after the flesh. David was. Many people agree to that. Let's look at some of these prophecies and so forth. Psalm 89, verse 3. I have made a right there. Don't forget, Isaiah said, talking to the house of David, right? In Isaiah 7:13, right? Consistently. That's no contradiction in the Bible. Now, the psalmist in 89, verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, that seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah, 34th verse. My covenant will I not break, nor utter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. He shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah, talking about the prophecies about Christ and so forth. You know, so let's read another Psalm 132. Many prophecies and so forth in the Psalms in particular. Many messianic Psalms, we call them. Psalm 132 verse 11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. And in Acts 2:30, on the day of Pentecost and so forth, Apostle Peter and so forth begin to explain many things from the scriptures and so forth. Therefore, being a prophet, talking about Christ, and we'll be talking about David now, I know that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Genesis to Revelation, speaking of the same Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul, when giving the word of exhortation to the rulers of the synagogue at Antioch, remember I told you, that's why we began this morning, at Antioch and so forth, where the missionaries, after they have fasted to the law, I bet you won't know that, the same chapter, Acts 13, when they were dispersed and so forth, they were sent forth, you know, and they were Antioch, Acts 13, 22. And when he, meaning God, has removed him, meaning Saul, because they were at Antioch, and they went to the synagogue, I believe for the Sabbath day and so on, that, you know, and they sat down, himself and Barnabas and so forth. Then the Jews and so forth, that's why they are asking, brethren, has he any word of exhortation? Then Paul stood up and had part of what he was telling those Jews and so forth, you know, in Acts 13, 22. And they're talking about Christ and so on. I say, when he, meaning God, has removed him, meaning Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my way. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel his Savior, Jesus, he said. Now, let's see Joseph's lineage now. I want to show from the scripture that Mary was actually that line of David from which Christ really came, and not really Joseph, really. I think I said that before many, many years ago. I want to say it again. Show it for you. Let's see the Joseph lineage. You know, so because it says it has to be from the line of David, but not Joseph. Joseph was just a legal father. That was it and so on. Anyway, let's see Joseph's lineage in the Bible. There are two genealogies given in the Bible. One in Matthew and one in Luke about the genealogy of Christ. And the people who don't understand, they think they are contradicting. No, there are no contradiction in the Bible. Not one. Anyway, let's see what was written in the book of Matthew. I will read a couple of verses. Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, see, the son of Abraham. He keep on going. I'm going to skip a lot. Then you go to verse 11, where I'm going. But treating Joseph, Mary's husband, is biological, where he came from at all. Verse 11, and Josiah begat Jeconias and his brethren. About the time they were carried away to Babylon. John to verse 16, here is the biological father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Jacob begat Joseph. That is the biological father of Joseph, the daughter of Mary. Back from the Bible here. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, meaning of Mary, that's Mary that was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, that is the biological father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now, that Jesus, the king of Israel, could not be the son of Joseph after the flesh is confirmed by a very significant circumstance. Joseph was a descendant of Jeconiah, you know, that I just said to you in Matthew 1:11, right? Bible says Josiah begat Jeconiah and so forth, and we went that to see that and so on, that, you know. Now, okay, so Joseph was a descendant of Jeconiah, as I just heard before, a particularly wicked king. And because of the extreme flagrance of his evil reign, God said that none of the seed of Jeconiah, also called Coniah, I'm going to read it now in Jeremiah, I'm going to read that now, will sit upon the throne of David forever. And we are going to show that Joseph came from that particular lineage, you know. So he could not be the one that the Lord, when he said the son of David and so on, that, you know, through the maternal, not through the paternal. So Jeremiah 22, 28, that Jeconiah and so forth. Let me read this. Is this man Coniah? The same thing as Jeconiah, you know. So is this man Coniah a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherewith is no pleasure. Wherefore are they cast out? He and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not. Now hear this one, verse 29 now. Oh, ask, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, write ye this man childless. See? A man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling anymore in Judah. So no descendant of Jeconiah can ever sit upon the throne of David. And we are shown that Joseph, the husband of Mary, came from that lineage. And the Bible says that none of that Jeconiah's descendants will sit upon the throne of David. So, so if therefore Jesus had actually been the son of Joseph after the flesh, he would not have been eligible to the throne of David. So that's what I'm saying, because Joseph, the husband of Mary, was biological father was Jacob in the line of Jeconiah. So we know that. So the prophecies of Christ being of the lineage of David were fulfilled through Virgin Mary actually. And we will see that right now. In Luke 3, verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. Let's look at Mary's lineage now to see how she was of the royal seed of David. And that's where the lineage that the Lord Jesus came from and some of that, you know. So in Luke 3:23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. Then, and the Bible put this comment here, as was supposed, you see that one? See that comment there? The son of Joseph. See, as was supposed, right? Which was the son of Heli. I will stop right there to explain something here. Now, the comment, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, right? People suppose that. Which was the son of Heli. What happened is this. It affirmed the truth of Jesus' virgin birth. Joseph was a son of Heli, mentioned here, by virtue of his marriage to Mary. That's why. Because in the Bible, they do not put women's names in genealogies. It's never done. They don't do it. So because of his marriage to Mary, that's why his name shows up here. So Mary was the daughter of Eli. That's the thing. You know? So Joseph appeared there because they don't put the name of women in genealogies and all that, you know. You can cross-reference it that Eli was was the father. Mary was the daughter of that Eli and so on that, you know. So Joseph was mentioned because of his association or his marriage to Mary. That was it, you know. So anyway, like I said before, if you look at Matthew 1:16, Jacob begat Joseph. That was the real biological father of Joseph, was Jacob. See, not Eli. Eli was mentioned here because because the husband of Mary, and Mary was the daughter. They don't put women in genealogy and so forth, So we go. So continuing in the genealogy that Luke gave us, back to 31 of Luke 3. So continue with line, there are many things, I just keep them, to trace that Eli, the father of Mary, down to David. So I want to go to 31 verse of Luke 3. I'll skip many verses in there. Which was the son of Mary, which was the son of Menah, which was the son of Matata, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. There we go. See? So right there, Mary, Dan, was a descendant of David and so forth. Eli was his father, our father, Eli, you know. Not the biological father of Joseph, the other of Mary, no. So which was the son of Jesse? See? Which was the son of Obed? Which was the son of Boaz. Which was the son of Salmon? Which was the son of Nelson? We keep on going there, genealogy and so forth like that, you know. So just to bring a point out here, you know, I always like to understand the Bible, you know, if the time of just brushing over things is past, Bible says they will understand it's couched in the originality of all things. But prophecy says so, you know. So that is that time, that's now, you know, for the church, the elect of God. Now, that the Lord Jesus Christ was not the son of David on the side of Joseph, Virgin Mary's husband, is further proved by the Lord's own words. And let me see, the Lord and the Pharisees, let's see, in Matthew 22, the Lord himself confirmed this truth. 22 of Matthew, verse 41. While the Pharisees were together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said unto him, the son of David. He said unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither does any man from that day forth ask him any question. You know, they always add a lot of questions to trap him. They bring him a piece of penny and so forth. You know, sorry, they ask him, should we give a tax unto Caesar, one of those temptations and so forth, try to trap the Lord and so forth. You know, the Romans were ruling at that time and so forth. Give me a denarius or what are you, a penny or so on. Whose superstition, you know, he is on this world? They say Caesar. Then give unto the Caesar, that which is Caesar, and to God, which is God. Just stop them right there. One of those kind of, you know, things that the Lord just did. Nobody asking any questions anymore. Praise the Lord. Amen. He is God, Almighty God, visiting his people. Let me tell you, the beginning of him visiting his people, let me just back up a little bit. Right? I should have said this, you know, at the beginning of this thing and so on and that, you know. Now, in the garden, when Adam and Eve were there and so forth, he will come to them and speak to them at the cool of the day. And of course, when the fall happened, the translation took place and so forth. And he come, like you know, they come and call them, Adam, where are you? Oh, I heard their voice in the garden and I was afraid. Have you eaten all the forbidden tree and so forth? Oh, that woman gave it to me and so on and that, you know. So you see, you to come to them in the cool of the day and so forth. So the fall happened and so forth. And the Bible says, well, haven't I told you, the day you eat of that fruit, you shall die. Oh, people will say, but Adam lived many, many days later. Well, you forgot that with the law, a day is 1,000 years, right? And 1,000 years is one day with the Lord. Praise the Lord. They died spiritually that day when they disobeyed the word of the Lord. And spiritual death was the father of physical death. See? So that no man ever hit 1,000 years. The oldest was Methuselah, 969 years. That was it, you know. Short of 1,000. Short of one day. The day that you died. I mean, that each other that, you know. So we see. And he has been visiting his people since that time. He had a womb called Abraham, a type of the elect, you know. And, you know, he will visit him in Genesis chapter 14. The kings of Sodom and all of those things, Medolama, whatever they call them, three kings and so forth, you know, came to invade Sodom and so on like that, you know. And the king of Sodom couldn't do nothing about it. Yet Abraham, with his knife and 300 servants only, you know, pursued them. And defeated them and so forth, you know. On his way back, there was one called Melchizedek and so forth. In Genesis chapter 14, we know it's a theophany, God in the flesh. And he brought bread and wine, you know. He will begin to show us in the future the breaking of bread and so on that, you know. Bread and wine, you know, to Abraham and so forth after the victory. Oh, when the battle is over here, right in the here and the rendezvous, we're going to have the breaking of bread with him, amen? Praise the Lord. It's already in Matthew 26. I will no longer drink this fruit of the vine with you until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom, amen? Praise the Lord. We are looking for that, you know, and the word of God, it will not fail. Praise the Lord. That's one time he appeared, you know, he called Melchizedek and so forth. you know, and appear to be called the prince, you know, the prince of Salem, they call him, Salem in Jerusalem there, you know, king of Salem and so forth. And the New Testament gave us more information about Melchizedek and so forth in Hebrews 6 and 7. Oh, this Melchizedek, of whom we have so much to talk about, even so you are dull of hearing and so on, and so the people and so forth, you know. He has no beginning of days nor ending of life. Who kind of man is that? That's not a human being. Praise the Lord. Only Jesus has no beginning or the ending of days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, in Genesis 16, we also remember when the sin of Sodom, the stink thereof have reached to the heavens, you know, and so forth. Then the Almighty God again visited Abraham in his theophany. Took two angels with him. Genesis 18 and so forth, you know. And you know what happened there? Abraham prepared meat quickly, washed their feet after the manner of the Orientals, you know, and then, let me just quickly prepare and make it and so forth. And we know, so it was God Almighty. Then God sent the two angels to Sodom. Bible says, and he stayed with Abraham. See? The word stayed with the bride. The bride stayed with the word. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, so we see that they are visiting his people. And throughout the God visiting his, the creator, visiting the creation, right? Two times we see Abraham now in the theophany. He said him. And many prophets saw me in vision. Daniel saw him. You know, we are in Daniel and so the ancient of day, this is and so on, that you know. He did care within a will and so on. He attached to them in visions and so on, that you know. So now, at the end of the age, now, at the birth of Christ, he now visited the whole world in Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. The Creator visiting the creation. Yes, that is what Christmas is all about. The Creator visiting the creation. His creation and so on, that you know. So anyway, so we see that right there. Primarily, the title Son of David is more than a statement of physical genealogy. More than that, it is a messianic title. And when people refer, who know what they are doing, to Jesus as the Son of David, they meant that he was the long-awaited Messiah. Now it meant more than genealogy and so on, that you know, it is the Almighty God awaiting, the Messiah being awaited and so forth. That was talked about in the Old Testament prophecies. And, you know, remember, even how God worked in simplicity, in John chapter 4, again, another simplicity of God and so forth. Know the story of the woman of Samaria, right? Woman of Samaria, Samaria in John chapter 4. At the middle of the day, Lord was there at that way, at Sychar, that Jacob gave to Joseph for a gift, right? And the Lord was sitting there at the middle of the day, weary of his journey, the Bible told us. He was both man, 100% God. Anyway, and there came the woman of Samaria, you know the story. And the Lord said, give me water give me water to drink, and so on and that, you know. And the woman said, well, and in those days, the Samaritans and the Jews, they have nothing in common. How is it that thou being a Jew askest me a Samaritan for water? We don't have any dealings and so forth. Oh, the Lord said, if you know the gifts of God, and he that said to you, give me to drink, you will ask of me, and I will give you that living water that you don't have to draw, come here to draw water anymore. Oh, give me that water so I don't have to come here anymore and so forth. Well, before I can do that, go get your husband. I have no husband. Oh, I know you don't have any husband. You have had five before, right? And the one you are living with now, not even your husband and so forth. Oh, I perceive that thou, as a prophet, the woman said, I perceive that a prophet. They have told us, when the Messiah shall come, he will tell us all things. They have been waiting for the Messiah, right? They have been told him, he will tell us all things. And the Lord ever say, I that I speak unto you, I am he. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I that speak unto you. That is in all John chapter 4, verses 19. I just keep some of these verses in there and so on, and let you know. Anyway, and the woman now left her water pot and ran to the village and said, come and see a man who told me all that I've ever done. Isn't this the Messiah? Praise the Lord. He will tell us all things and so on, and let you know. A woman, an alert, was able to recognize him as the Messiah. She believed, whereas the rabbi and so forth, are the one that presents him to be crucified at the hand of the Gentiles. to get an harlot. You know, and do you know that, you know, Rahab, the harlot, at Jericho and so forth, you know, she made it to the Messianic line, really, you know. I can't go into that right now. Many people, churches will be surprised, you know, at the coming of the Lord. We have to be very careful. Praise the Lord. Anyway, the Creator, visiting His creation. So in Luke 24 and 26, so remember, I know, the day of the resurrection and so forth, you know, so talking about Him being the Almighty and so on, that, you know, I always like this part of the Bible and so forth, you know, Cleopas and one other disciple, they don't mention His name there, were on their way to Emmaus, day of the resurrection, and the Lord appeared to them, you see, and they begin to, listen to their conversation, right there and so forth. Then he intervened to them. What are you talking about, you people? What are you talking about? He was disguised. He was hidden. Their heart was there. You know, they couldn't recognize. He appears in so many ways. He can make you to know Him or not, and so on. As you know, are you a stranger in Jerusalem that you don't know what is happening? The Lord said, "What is happening? How did I cry? Jesus, you know, Jesus, a mighty prophet. They even call Him a mighty prophet, and so on. You know, did many miracles and signs among the people, and so on." And now the elders have crucified, they are beginning to be crucified and so forth. And even today, I like what he said, some of us, you know, women went to the sepulchre and they saw angels that they are risen from the dead and so forth. Then the Lord rebuked them, "Oh fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said." Then in verse 26 of Luke 24, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" And the beginning, as Moses and all the prophets, he assigned unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning Himself. I always like Acts 10:43 too. You know, so the Bible says, "No, what happened in Luke 24? Their eyes were open." Oh, and of course, when he broke bread, you know, and so on. He has a sense of, so he was doing as if he just passed the village. You know what the story says? That, oh, it is too late. Come and buy with us. Bible said the truth that he broke bread. The last thing he did, you know, with them and so on, their eyes were open to see Him. Oh, this our heart born within us. Why He expanded the scriptures unto us? They that are saying that it's tonight and so on, that saying that they went back to Jerusalem. Praise God. Hallelujah. The power of revelation. Praise God. You can just, don't care about anything, whether they are robbers or the way that man, they don't care anymore, amen? The power of revelation, praise God. No, at the day of Pentecost, they were drunken with wine, right? The power of revelation of the word of God. Anyway, in the house of Cornelius, after, you know, the story of Cornelius in Acts 10:43, Peter was preaching there and so forth. He said the same thing. "To him," meaning Christ, "give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sin." The Bible says, why Peter yet spoke those words? The Holy Ghost fell on all them which had that word. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Telling him, them, Cornelius and his house, whom Christ was and so forth. The Holy Ghost came and they are witness and filled all of them up. So Christ declared in Revelation 22:16, talking about how he led to David, right? "I am the root and the offspring of David." See? It means that he is the creator of David, and yet he is a descendant of him, like we have been showing all morning long. So, and he said, "I am the root and the offspring of David, the creator of David." The mystery. See? So, the virgin birth is the clue as to why Christ is uniquely different from all other men. He was a man through the Virgin Mary, but He was also God by being conceived, not of the will of the flesh, but by the Holy Ghost. God being Almighty, He had the power to beget a child, meaning Christ, in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Therefore, when He cometh into the world, He says sacrifice in Hebrews 10:5. "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body has thou prepared me." Praise the Lord. I will never forget an instance when we first moved here. I used to do a manual job. I used to cast inventory. And we were traveling all over Arizona. You see the company bus. We go to cast inventory, you know, in Fries, everywhere we went to. We were going to Tucson. How people would be joking on believers and so forth. I wasn't saying anything. I just used to the bus, you know, the company bus and so forth. I had this time of the year. And they were making fun of Christmas and so forth. How God can, you know, come in the, then I say one word. I say, well, that make him God. He can do all things. You know, the old boss was silent. Amen. Praise the Lord. They were all silent. That make him God. He can do anything. He can do anything. He can do all things. He came in the, you know, in his baby and so forth. The old, that led the conversation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway, so we see. So, many other prophecies, of course, declare the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me see here. Isaiah 9:6. See? 700 something years before the coming of Christ. That same prophet, Isaiah, the messianic prophet. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. How can anybody miss it? I don't know. Or they want to really miss it. The Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. What is the fight about Father, Son, that people are, church people are fighting about and so forth? And the titles and so forth, that you know. So the Mighty God, the same one person. See? Anyway, all the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, see? Never miss, throughout the Bible. And upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform, the Bible says. Of course, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. See? And the Word was with God. That Word is the eternal Logos. It means the eternal Logos. See? The Word was with God and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that eternal Logos, the Word, the expression of God, became flesh and tabernacle with us. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto us the Gentiles. They don't miss us, thank God. They forget about us, amen. Gentiles and so on. Praise the Lord. Papa Simeon say, in the beginning, mention the Gentiles in there at the beginning of the service and so on, that you know. Believe on in the word and receive up into glory. So, even his place and birth, his place of birth and identity was given in prophecy. I believe people are celebrating Christmas. These are the kind of things they should be talking about. It's a place of birth, and it was mentioned in prophecy. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, who goeth forth, have been from old, from everlasting. In other words, he has traveled up and down to the eternal ages, to the eternities behind us, the Lord Jesus Christ and so on, the Almighty God, and has left his footprints on the ages. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever at all, thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. No beginning or the ending of this, praise God. Hallelujah. He is the Alpha and the Omega, book of Revelation, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Almighty. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, talking of everlasting. Everlasting is a word that a human mind can only vaguely even grasp at all. From everlasting means Christ has existed from the eternity behind us. See? But who can even understand, even partially, the meaning of eternity? Who can? You know? The thought staggers the imagination and baffles the profoundest intellect. Isaiah 57 verse 15. For thus said the I am the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a conquered and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the conquered ones. So we see him right there as the inhabitant of eternity. Christ holds the position of the Lord of the universe in his own right. First of all, because he is the creator. That's right. John 1:3 says so. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. At the matter of 2 or 3 witnesses, Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And there are host of other scriptures establishing and telling humanity the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ and so on, that you know. Christ is the Lord of all for another equally cogent reason. What was that? When sin entered the universe and bid to destroy God's fair creation, until we are told in Romans 8:22, the old creation now groaned and travailing in pain together until now. Only one person, if you want to call him a person, meaning Christ, and at infinite cost, could repair the damage that has been done to this race. I took all of that, and he has done it. What has people to do is to accept it, you know. Nothing is more obvious than the fact that for humanity to survive, it must have a savior. It has to. The wise men of this world, the philosophers, the intellectuals, are preoccupied in devising ways and means for man to save himself, but to no avail, no avail at all. Man has indeed proven beyond all shadow of doubt that he cannot save himself. Vainly he tries to lift, if you want to say this one, lift himself to heaven by his boot heels. Can't do it. It's impossible. The only answer to the world is Christ. Him alone is the secret of redemption, our Redeemer. Him, in him alone, is the power of to regenerate fallen human nature and to heal and restore the sin-sick soul. Only him can do it. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, amen. So, let me quickly land up here if I can quickly. So, the reason for the incarnation is that man is spiritually dead. Like I said before, as soon as he sinned, I couldn't communicate to God anymore. See, when I heard your voice, I was afraid. That's what he said. You know, anyway. So, the incarnation is a miracle. The condescension of deity in the miracle of the incarnation links God to man by blood. I always like to say this. By this, Christ became our elder brother. That's right. He is God. He's all things to us. Everything to us. The humanity of him who emptied himself of his pre-incarnation attributes and became very man is not less awesome than his infinite exaltation. Now, Galatians 4:4, what I'm talking about now, Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time, you see, man was helpless and all that, you know, to save himself and so on. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, see, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's our daughters back from the fall, you know. And they consider our sons, talking to Christians now, you know, we are to our heritage, whichever you believe. And because we are our sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. And wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Romans 8:16. The Spirit of itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together. So our narration so far of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world is the first of three. You know, my subject was that the Creator visits the creation, right? Holy Spoken, the first coming. He said to this world. I don't want to skip this other one. There are two other comings that Bible clearly tells us about. So, that first coming, like I said, was to redeem the race by his death on the cross. After 3 days, he rose from the dead and eventually ascended to heaven. Now, as it's the first of three of his coming to this world, his second coming, which all sincere Christians or believers are waiting for right now, will be his secretly taken away to heaven of his ready sins. I qualify that sins. Ready sins. Not all the sins are going to go. According to the scripture, he gave us a parable in Matthew 25 of 10 virgins. I always pick verse 10 out. The reason why some people are left. Verse 10 of Matthew 25. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, that is the key word. He didn't hate them, he said he loved his children. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Sobering fact, isn't it? I mean, terrible statistics. Bible says 50%, right? And then there are even worse statistics. When they left Egypt, 2 million people left Egypt. Only two made it to the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. 1 in 1 million. Sobering statistics, right? Had to be sober and be vigilant. Talk about that later, not today. Anyway, the age we are living in. So people are crying that all Christians will go in the rapture, not knowing the air, not knowing the scriptures, you know. So instead of to be ready and to be do all we can do what the Lord said to do. So anyway, so we say, and in John 14:2, now talking about it's coming again, right? He told us, in my Father's house are many mansions. You see, the Creator visited the creation, right? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, he said. Talking about the secret cashing away right now. And I want to read that scripture here. Almost every day I read it here. That is what the church is waiting for. This is where our heart is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to verse 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. So it is a secret cash away of the bride, or those who are ready, of the saints. Descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. And so the Lord is coming back. Then, so that's one thing. The second thing, that's the second one. He won't touch the ground. No. We're going to meet him. We're going to magnetize us to himself. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Bible says the blessed hope. As many as had this hope in them, purify themselves, even as he himself is pure. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What a thing to live for Jesus. Amen. And let him live in us. Hallelujah. The blessed hope. Now, thirdly, it's coming again. The third time now. Thirdly, will be his visible coming. And with his saints. So, I'm talking about Creator visiting the creation, right? That's right. That's the second one. No, they don't see him. Even like his resurrection. Apostle Peter told us in one place by the Holy Spirit as well. Not all of the people see him, but those who are ordained before the war began saw him after his resurrection, right? So the same thing in the rapture and so forth. So the third one quickly. Jude 1:14 is coming back with his sins. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. See? Now, that the Holy Scripture we know that he's going to come again with his saints and so forth. It's coming as Armageddon too. Zechariah, the 14th chapter, verse 4, tell you the same thing. You know, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east side. And, on the east side. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Now, see, I don't want to expand on this scripture because of time. Even the Lord himself appearing to join the vision as soon as Isle of Patmos in Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And every eye, that's not the rapture. We already go in the rapture, we are coming with him. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him. And they also which pierce him. And all kindreds, he put all of the earth, shall wait because of him. Even so, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Coming, the creator. This is the creation, you know. So, now, what you want to do in the church, what we are doing in this age, that we want to go with him in that second coming, really. That secret cash away. That's what we want, you know, and so on that, you know. The secret cash away and so on. Mark, let me finish with that right now. See, very fast, you know, that which apportioned to us and so on. Before we can come with him, he has to rapture us first, right? So that's what we're talking. The Bible is saying here. Mark 13:28 now. Getting ready. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When a branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that the summer is nigh. So ye, in like manner, when you see this thing that you and I are seeing today, what are the things? Wars and rumors of wars. Pestilences, earthquakes, the elements acting up, the sea and the waves roaring, and so on. The nations in perplexity. When you see all these things, which you and I have seen today, like never before in the history of the world, then he told us, know that it is nigh, even at the door. That's how we know it's coming is soon, by looking at the signs he gave us. You know, that's how we know. Verily I say unto you, the Lord said, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be not be done. That generation that saw Israel become a nation again, 75 years ago, barely they were celebrating in May of this year, 75 years of becoming a nation and so forth. Not too many times I preached about it, before the war began, I preached a sermon here about the wars of Israel, the first 7 wars already. Not even knowing war, before you know it, you are in another war already after that summer. You know, see? Anyway, so it's right there. So verily I say unto you, to that generation and so forth will not pass away that he said become a nation again. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven. Angels are not omniscient. Amen? Praise the Lord. Angels are not omniscient and so on like that, you know. They don't know all things. Only the Lord Jesus Christ know all things anyway. So verse 33. Take heed, you know, take heed, talking to his people now. Watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Watch ye therefore, verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. In the Bible days, the night is divided into 4 portions, like that, in the Bible days. That's how they divide the night and so forth. So you don't know which of them is going to come. So the secret of being going is to watch at all times, you know. So, and so on that, you know. So, and what I say unto you, where he said, let's come in, suddenly he find you sleeping. He said, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Last scripture, and I close here, Luke 21:36. Watch therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. That's what he's talking about. All the things that are going to come, That means majorly the great tribulation, the Antichrist manifesting himself, the man of sin, manifesting himself and so forth, take control of the world commerce, issue a mark, you know, come by yourself, you had a mark of doom. Then after a short reign of 7 years, the last half of it and so forth, your mark himself, the diabolical, no person that is and so forth, that, you know. And the temple of the Jews to be built in Jerusalem, Revelation 11, 1 and 2 and so forth, declaring himself to be God and so on, that, you know, that begins the great tribulation. Then follow the great and terrible day of the Lord. Then, of course, the trumpet judgment. I can't even go there. Then we go the via judgment, Armageddon and so on, India. These are the things the Lord says to pray and watch to escape them. Thank God as a way of escaping, eh? And it is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That secret cash away. And he wants you an idea, amen? But we'll do our part. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the world do this thing tomorrow and celebrate what they call Christmas, Lord, even we know that even that is even falsehood, even nature teaches that it wasn't even born during winter and so forth, the shepherd couldn't have put their sheep out in a wintry, in Bethlehem and so forth. Nevertheless, when no Christ is being preached, and the Bible says the God will preach in all the world for a witness to the nation, then the end will come. So we pray for the people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ who are not in Christ, in the name of the Lord, that, O Lord God, by the grace of God, that Lord God, the eyes of many be opened, by the preaching of the gospel, the gospel preached everywhere, but during tracts, maybe there are so many global communications this day, we are praying for them, Lord. We are told in 1 Timothy and so on, pray for all men. Bible says it is the will of God that men should be saved. That's why we are praying for them, Lord. So we pray for them at this hour, Lord, that they be that the blindness, Bible says the God of this world has blinded the minds of them. Let they should see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ and be saved. That's our prayer this morning, Lord. Lord, draw many even in this season, Lord of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, turn the heart of stone into flesh. In the name of the Lord, those who have heard the gospel over and over again, I don't know the repercussion of rejecting Christ. Don't know the meaning and the terribleness of going to a Christless grave. Oh Lord, we pray this morning. Have mercy, Lord, and draw many in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for the saints, Lord, oh Father, that Lord, will not miss the hour of our visitation as the Jews did, Lord, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say to be sober and to be vigilant. Bible tells us, oh Lord, help us to be in this condition. Whether you come in the morning, the fourth or second or third watch, that will be found washing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for helping us and being here this morning, just walking the scriptures and know who we are in Christ, know what the expectations that we have in our hearts at this time, at the rapture of the church. Lord, if I will say, we pray this morning, account us worthy, Lord, oh Father, Lord, to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.